Hello, and welcome to the first ever dual degree hour with
Maggie,
Emma, and Annabelle. And this is dual degree hour, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Okay, so to start us off, we're going to be playing a song that captured all of our hearts this week. Emma has had a long-standing appreciation for opossums.
I like them.
And has recently involved herself with the online opossum community.
They're very good people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is one of the fruits of that exploration. We introduce you to Jerry the Awesome Opossum, which is a ballad written for a truly awesome opossum.
When we first met in the park, you were scared, hungry, lost and alone. A twinkle in your eyes lit a spark in my heart. Back then you were frail, but wow, have you grown. You like to eat tons of cheese, gobble up a lot of berries and big juicy plums. You never take a fall when you're climbing up trees, holding on by your tail and opposable thumbs. On and on, you like to yawn, sleepy dinosaur in my t-shirt drawer. Jerry the Awesome Opossum, our love is unconditional, it's quite unique. Jerry the Awesome Opossum, our bond is unconventional, we never need to speak. Jerry the Awesome Opossum, when you waddled off who knows where, we were scared, Jerry, that you might get hurt. We looked everywhere, you were somewhere out there, so we asked all our neighbors to be on alert. You finally found your way home, drank some juice, ate an egg and I knew you could survive out there on your own. But for now, here you go, have another bite of pear. Every day you choose to stay, never need to play possum. Jerry the Awesome Opossum, our love is unconditional, it's quite unique. Jerry the Awesome Opossum, our bond is unconventional, we never need to speak. Some people think you're like a parasite, ugly as can be that you will scratch and bite, but no, none of that is true. Yes, you have 50 teeth and very sharp nails, but from the tip of your nose to the tip of your tail, there's not a mean bone in you. Jerry the Awesome Opossum, our love is unconditional, it's quite unique. Jerry the Awesome Opossum, our bond is unconventional, we never need to speak. Jerry the Awesome Opossum.
Wasn't that delightful?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much. In case you're just tuning in, that was Jerry the Awesome Opossum by Edward Auslander. And he has a website too. You can see pictures of Jerry at www.jerrytheawesomeopossum.com.
They are very cute. Would recommend.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
We're going to do a segment called, we're figuring things out, but we're going to do a segment called Slaps and Flaps of the Week. And this refers to the food that we eat and enjoy.
Because it will either slap or the alternative, flap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Slaps are good. Flaps are bad. I thought that was really intuitive, but some people needed it to be explained to them.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, I think because slap is slang amongst us young folk.
And then flap is just a bad word. You never use the word. Unless you're, like, flapping your wings.
But even then, flap, like, you're not like flying. You're just flapping.
Oh, I was thinking of it, like, the noun, like a flap of skin.
What?
Or like a...
Ew. That's not what I was thinking
no,
of.
No, I mean...
But yeah, that's pretty gross, which is just about the quality of the food. Yes. When we're describing it.
Yes.
Fair. Okay.
Very true.
I'm sorry.
And...
Don't apologize.
No, you're great.
Maybe this is a safe space.
It is. Yes. Before we begin individual slaps and flaps, we would like to acknowledge the giant flap that is the SMFA Cafe, because it's gross.
It's gross.
It's very unfortunate.
And, like, we were all so excited. I mean, at least I know I was excited. Like, yeah. You see the little logo, and you're like, oh, it's the SMFA Cafe. Like, it's going to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
And it's mainly just because there's such a limited amount of options for an entire school's cafeteria. Mm-hmm.
And they also don't get dinner on Fridays or food over the weekends.
That's not our problem. Our problem is that we have to eat there like twice a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and it's also like
full BFA students.
You can't get any food before like 5 o'clock.
Oh no, yeah.
And
it like completely shuts down between 2 and 5, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they close up and I'm like, what? What if I need food at any time other than exactly the meal times?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't care about that.
No.
They don't care about us.
No, they don't. I wish they would bring back the catered food.
Yeah, that was actually...
I know people who got food poisoning from the catered food.
Oh, no! I told you!
Okay, yeah, no, it's not great. If I had to eat a panini for every meal...
I apologize for cussing. Okay. I've been told that I can't cuss.
Okay, that's enough. We're good. We're good.
That's enough. What did you just expect me to be like, well, I might as well unload my full vocabulary right here.
I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
You think that little of me, Annabelle?
No, no, no.
No,
of course not.
Okay. That was not reassuring at all.
No. I apologize. Okay.
That's enough.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's continue with individual slaps and flaps. So my slap for this week was Sunday, and also the vegetarian chili last night was really, really good. And then my flap was, Emma knows what I'm talking about, these awful jerky seasoned tofu cubes.
Jerk, it's jerk, like jerk,
jerk
chicken.
Like jerk chicken.
Okay. That's worse.
Yeah, they were pretty sure. Have they come back? Have you
seen
them?
I have not seen them. But they were there once and
reason.
That's enough. They looked like they would be well seasoned. They looked like they would be good, but instead they were just spicy without having any spice.
No, and like
on
overwhelmingly
them.
Spicy, like.
Yeah, like you took a bite and you were like, I need water right now.
But also they had absolutely no taste.
No, they were flavorless but spicy, and then it didn't cook all the way through, or didn't cook at all or something. It was
they
like
were just so
microwave tofu cubes that had bad seasoning on them, so
it was a
full tofu texture but gross.
Yeah,
I
agree with both of those.
Yes. Bad.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have the vegetarian chili, but it sounds pretty good.
I heard it was good.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was delicious.
I heard in some circles.
In some circles.
I know. Vegetarian chili has created a buzz around the Tufts campus, so...
Has it actually?
I've heard about it from 2 different sources at this point, which to me is a buzz.
That is a buzz.
That is considered a buzz.
Incredible.
Annabelle is one of those sources.
Annabelle, I'm sorry. You're not releasing any new information. Everyone already knows.
Okay. I apologize.
No,
that was
but
my
I think it's important to tell the people at home who aren't Tuftonians.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. And need to have a glimpse of the lifestyle that we live.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True. The Jumbos love vegetarian chili. Mm-hmm.
Jumbos love food in general.
That's true. I love it.
I've never heard of anyone who didn't go to late night at least once since we got here.
Yeah. I feel like most people go almost every weekend.
We stand.
Delicious. We do stand.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to my slaps and flaps.
Okay, we skipped me. It's fine.
Oh, no, wait. No, Emma.
Yes, Emma's up.
Sorry.
No, you first.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. I have consistently felt that the potato puffs, which is just another name for hash browns that Duick and Carmichael use, are one
Don't
of the sloppiest
Carm in this.
Items.
Carm has fresh berries for breakfast, and I figured that out yesterday, and it was incredible.
Why would we walk all the way up to Carm for breakfast?
Fresh berries. That's my only thought. Okay, sorry, continue.
Sorry, but in addition to fresh berries, they also have potato puffs. It's just the perfect little bundle of carbohydrates that you can eat at any time of the day. If they have the little tater tot version, those are perfect to stress eat while you procrastinate. It's awesome. I'm a big fan. A flap, but for some reason only a flap this week, has been the scrambled egg whites. Usually they're pretty up there, but for some reason they were just hard.
Sorry, all the scrambled eggs look like trash. I've never even...
Normal scrambled eggs are actually, that they have, pretty solid. They're not powdered eggs, which I was surprised by. Like, they use actual eggs, which is...
You haven't sold me, but I trust that they're good for some people.
I don't think we're making any noise.
Okay.
My mom just said, suddenly no sound.
So, hold on.
So, there's apparently no sound.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know that doesn't make any sense, but... I just turned off aux 1, so maybe I need to turn it back on. It says on here that we're making noise.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so...
I don't think it has anything to do with us.
I think it's an individual issue. I'm going to try to tune in anyway. Okay, sorry, you can keep talking, because I think we're fine.
Move on with your slaps and flaps.
Okay. So, my slap... It would be mac and cheese, which is always pretty good.
Yeah.
But specifically in DeWick on Sunday, I had to have 2 servings, which is a pretty big deal. But the way that I do it, and this is a quick tip for everyone, I mix in some feta and some mozzarella, and then I microwave it so that the sauce isn't, like, old. So even if it's been out there for a couple hours, it's nice, fresh, cheesy. And if you put it in long enough, it'll get a little crispy on top. Yeah. Yum. So, another thing is the vegan brownies. I think everyone needs to appreciate the vegan brownies. Because they're very good.
They are good. Whenever I eat them, I say that they have no calories. Which is maybe a bad joke, and maybe I should stop saying it.
No, never
but
stop.
But I think it's so funny.
It is funny, because they're vegan.
Yeah, they're vegan, so they have no calories.
Yeah, it can't...
Mm-hmm. Vegan foods don't have any calories.
That's true.
Zero calorie foods.
There's no milk fat, so there's no fat. That's how it works, right?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Perfect.
Yeah. I really do like vegan baked goods. I think they get a bad rep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Alrighty. So... I believe that we're moving into my song selection for the week, which has been a favorite during midterm season. It is Lip Gloss by Lil Mama.
We actually totally are silent right now.
What?
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
Oh, what?
Your headphones just don't work.
No, I think we're fine, because I heard you on the radio. Our headphones are currently broken, I think, or we just don't know how to turn them on. But I think all of the mics are working. Okay, let's move into this song.
Yes, let's go.
Okay, onward and conquer.
Yep, 'cause I'm worth it. Up the way I put it on, so perfect. White muffin. Oh, 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 my lips so luscious. The way I spice it up with the Mac Mac brushes. L'Oreal got them watermelon crushes. That's probably the reason all these boys got crushes. What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know? Except my lip gloss is cool. My lip gloss be popping. I'm standing at my locker and all the boys keep stopping. What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know? Listen, my lip gloss is popping. My lip gloss is cool. All the boys keep jocking. They chase me after school. When it's time for lunch, my lips still rock. Lil' mama melon with the hot pink top. Cherry, vanilla, flavors is a virtue. They loving lip gloss universal. The boys really like it. The girls don't speak. Rolling their eyes, they lip gloss cheap. It ain't my fault, but I could upgrade. Just show you how to use nice things with nice flavors. What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know? Except my lip gloss is cool. My lip gloss be popping. I'm standing at my locker, and all the boys keep stopping. What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know? Listen, my lip gloss is popping. My lip gloss is cool. All the boys keep jocking. They chase me after school. I stepped in the office like, yes, Miss McClarson. She like, girl, ran out of my lip glossin'. Write down where you get yours from. Cause I must admit, that bubble gum is poppin', it's poppin', it's poppin'. She ain't frontin'. And I be lovin' it, I be lovin' it. I be using it, I be using it. I be rubbin' it, I be rubbin' it. On my lips, my lip gloss. What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know? Except my lip gloss is cool. My lip gloss be popping. I'm standing at my locker, and all the boys keep stopping. What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know? Except my lip gloss is popping. My lip gloss is cool. All the boys keep jocking. They chase me after school.
And now we're like to be, wow, weird. Ah! Please stop this.
Okay. I apologize for that. That was me not turning off the music when I should have. Ah. That's my bad.
Life is full of frightening and unexpected things. Now we're introducing another segment, which we will hopefully be doing every week, which is the reading of PSAs in my many multifaceted, that's not the right word. Anyways.
Multi-talented?
No, I was going to say my large array of accents at my disposal.
It's early. We're fine. It's fine.
Anyways. Numbers to think about. Prescription drug versus medical marijuana death. The number of Americans that die each day from an accidental overdose of prescription drugs is 54. Now, the number of human beings that have died from an overdose of medical marijuana in all of recorded history is 0. That is a message in public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Amazing.
Beautiful. Informative.
Can we get a hand for Emma?
Yeah. Yes. At this point, I don't think that was me trying. That's just my natural voice.
If you don't know Emma, then you don't know that she'll sometimes switch into some random accent just during normal conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is hugely entertaining.
Yeah.
And very fun.
Except I wish I could control it, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine that if I didn't know you very well, it might be quite jarring.
Yeah, well, no, the problem is when I'm around you guys and then other people just happen to be there, mm-hmm. I'll do it and I'm like, I'm in a safe space. And then, like, I forget. Like, that normal people don't do that.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that I would think that you had just been possessed.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of am.
That's new information.
Well, I mean, what is acting if not being temporarily possessed?
I mean, I don't know if I would use the word possessed, because that's a little bit scary.
I would use that.
Okay.
Well, it's my particular method, you know.
You're the actor here, so I trust you.
Yeah, speaking of, Enemy of the People, I'm going to plug my play, because it's at the, we open on Thursday. It is a play about water and stuff that is in it. So, come see us.
That's a great description.
Yeah, I play the plucky young daughter. And, I mean, that's about all of my character traits. So, please come see it. Not for me, but for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And we'll come see it for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Be there or be square.
Okay, yes. I've done my part.
Okay.
Emma, do you want to introduce your song for the week?
Oh, yes. Okay. So, the song that I have chose is Kites Are Fun by The Free Design, which was released in 1967. And the Wikipedia page described it as sunshine pop and baroque pop, which is exactly the kind of uplifting tune that I needed this week, at least, because it's been a real doozy. Mm. And this song is very uplifting, and it did interrupt me before, so now we'll get to hear the whole thing play.
Heck yeah.
Exciting.
All right, let's go. Welcome back. That was Kites Are Fun by The Free Design, which is Emma's song of the week.
Yeah, they never achieved commercial success, but the band, I mean, The Free Design.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was their most popular song.
Was it really?
Yes, from the titled album, Kites Are Fun.
Fair, valid.
Because kites are fun.
Yeah, they are pretty fun.
I enjoy a good kite. I mean,
so it's been too long. You need to get out there on the field. Bring out the old kite.
I mean, it's pretty windy here as of right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could definitely kite it up.
Yeah, although I would be worried about the hills and people and Boston drivers who I think might go out of
are
their
you, way wait, to hit me. Sorry, are you flying your kite on the road?
Are you standing in the middle of the road flying?
No, I'm saying if I were to fly a kite in and Medford.
And then a Boston driver would, I think back to the future, like soar into the sky.
No.
And
no, I think a Boston driver would hit me as I walk on the sidewalk. I think
dude, just Boston don't fly the kite near the road. It's a okay. Pretty basic
a park.
Rule.
Okay, I don't know of any parks near here. So
we go to
we
Boston
live
Commons,
on a giant
dude.
Park essentially if you think about it.
Well, I was saying I could fly the kite here, but you guys shot that down.
I'm so sorry.
No, I shot down flying the kite on the road.
Okay. I think that you could very easily fly a kite on the
road. A kite
line.
Is also, like, it's attached to a string. You can't control it. It's not as if it veers towards the road as if committing suicide.
It's been years since I've flown a kite, so I don't quite remember the operation.
I mean, I've seen movies. Like, that's really what this is all based on.
Okay. That's fair. So
I did play Michael Banks in a production of Mary Poppins, and he flies a kite.
Great.
So that was the last time I flew a kite, was a fake one that had Mary Poppins attached to it.
Did you get to have a mustache?
Dude, Michael Banks is like a little boy.
For some reason I thought it was, what is the name?
I thought it was the father.
Yeah, yeah. Big Banks.
No, that's George.
Wait,
George
is he Banks? Actually called Big Banks?
No, he's not.
Big Boy Banks. Big Papa. Big Papa.
Big Papa.
Oh man, I thought it was like gonna be some literary allusion to the fact that big banks are controlling it. I was like, wow, they really went for that.
No, I mean it is. I mean, I don't know. It's a good show. It's a good show.
Okay, well. With that, we're going to be moving on to our final segment before Freeform Chat, which is this week in our dual degree lives. So, Maggie, would you like to start us off? She has a story she's been telling everyone.
Yes. It is a somewhat harrowing ordeal, I must say. So prepare yourself for a lot of emotional turmoil. So essentially, this year, I'm in a sculptural weaving course. And we were creating tapestries that had been hung off, or the warp had been positioned onto, the architecture of the SMFA itself. Really cool idea. My teacher got the go ahead, as long as you're not blocking the hallways, you're good to go. Let your students put up their artwork. Installation work is supported here. But then, of course, 5 hours into my very intricate tapestry weaving, in which I spent all of lunch weaving this tapestry.
And because, filmed it.
And I filmed it as well, because I'm on the student communications group. And I film being at Tufts to, you know, promote Tufts, because it's a great school. Yeah, so it was filmed. You can see the sadness.
We're holding a gun to our heads.
It's a great school. It's great, yeah.
We love Tufts.
No, anyway, 5 hours.
We do.
We really enjoy it. We're on the radio right now.
Okay, yes, continue.
Okay. Anyway, 5 hours into weaving my tapestry, I was told that I had to cut it down. But I couldn't cut it down and then resume weaving at a different location because my warp had not been fixed to a movable object. So I had to, and I didn't want to tie it off yet because I only had about 4 inches done. So I had to cut down 5 hours worth of tapestry work and slowly unweave it so I could retrieve the very expensive yarn that I was using to do this tapestry. My teacher felt bad for it. Yeah, I felt bad for it. It was a day.
This is a really sad story.
It is a sad story.
It's a life.
There's no punchline. I thought you were like,
no.
And then I punched the guy who told me that I needed to take it down.
No.
No, there's no punchline.
No.
It's a,
I mean, I knew. Yeah. I knew that didn't happen, but I was hoping.
You were hoping that I'd come up with some sort of funky twist.
Lie on the radio.
Lie.
There's enough fake news out there already. Might as well add to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's a sad story. We all know it, and now you all know it, which is very fun, except it's a sad story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm so snap for Amber.
Why are we snapping?
Because she just shared our harrowing story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Snaps for Maggie. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now on to me. Now, I'm only in one class at the SMFA this semester because scheduling for dual degree students is hard.
It's the worst.
Mm-hmm. How you can all snap. It's hard. Yeah, thank you very much. Also, just because initially I was registered in two, and then on the first day that I arrived here, I took the shuttle for the first time, and I realized I did not have enough time in between my, like, when the classes began and the class that I was supposed to be at here. Mm-hmm. And my advisors never told me that, mm-hmm. you know, because they're just so great. I'm in a virtual reality class, which is very interesting. It is full of messing around in this absolutely free 3D rendering software called Unity. And the thing about Unity is it's free, which means that it sucks, but also it's free, which means that it's free. And so it's a real win-lose there. Mm-hmm. And it is so irritatingly non-user-friendly. As in, you have to watch your animation play out to see what will happen. If you have physics enabled, like, there's no way to preview if it will work. Mm. So I've seen the same animations over and over and over, and sometimes they will fail, and there's no way to know why. So you just have to, like, search through every variable in the program for hours until you find it. And also, within this, there's also, like, scripting, which you can add in if you want, which you need to add in if you want to change scenes. So I want to, because I have two very cute environments. There's a little froggy jumping. I want to transition to the little froggy. And for some reason, mainly just because the universe hates me, my scene switch script will not work no matter what. And I near well threw my computer, but it would have really scared Anna, my roommate. So I'm happy I didn't.
Yeah.
But it was this close to a mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. And really, that's the only class I have at the SMFA. So if this fails, bye-bye, Tufts.
Well, I think it's pretty hard to fail.
You can't. Basically, you can't.
And they're also all pass-fail, mm-hmm. so...
It's beautiful, yeah. But I mainly just wanted to impress my instructor because he seems like a really cool guy.
Fair.
And last week, some guy showed in with an entire recreation of the original moon landing.
No way.
What? he was just like, we all just, like, didn't know how to react. And Kurt was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in this class. And I was just, like, inside the little person inside of everyone's head that's like, you could have done better, that could have been you. And yeah. And then we asked him, he's like, how long did you spend on this? And he's like, yeah, like about 8 hours. And I was like,
8 hours?
Who has time to deal with Unity that long? This program sucks. It gave my computer seizures.
Yeah.
You've seen the seizures.
I've seen the seizures. Yeah. Warm. It's warm seizures. The computer just
flickers.
It's a toaster.
Yeah. Anyways, so not only am I not recreating the moon landing, but my computer's gonna need some CPR. What do you do with people that have seizures? You just let them do their thing.
I don't think you can let them CPR. No. I think that's incorrect. I don't know. That's something.
My old art teacher was epileptic, and he would just, like, lie in a room, you know? Like, he would lie underneath a table or something.
While he was having a seizure?
Well, I'm, yeah. Like, there's different stages of seizures. Like, you can feel them coming on, at least from people that I've heard.
No, one of my favorite books is called 100 Sideways Horses, and the main character is epileptic, and when he has seizures, he doesn't always go to the hospital. He just kind of lays there and deals with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he has to do.
Yeah.
But if you're at school, it's kind of hard.
It's annoying. Yeah, it's not life-threatening, but it is, like, it inhibits your ability to function at all for however long it may last. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to John Luna. He's not listening at all, but he's a beautiful man.
Wonderful. Yes. We love our art teachers from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my week in my dual degree life is that I'm learning how to oil paint. And I don't have any sad stories or... I do have some technical difficulties, though, because I've never oil painted before. And it's hard. And it's not intuitive. And...
Well, then we have some similarities here.
Yeah. Yeah. We do. But other than that, I guess I'm not really... struggling. I do have over 6 hours of homework each week, so.
See, I do too, but I don't really know how much of that I've been doing.
Well, I have to, like, have it all done for my, like, midterm this week, so I have to have all of the homework done, and I've been spending about 6 hours a week doing homework for that class, but the problem is that I have to commute over there and then commute back at the worst hours. So I've been going on Tuesdays, which is bad because that's the night before my class, so nothing's dry. And if I don't get it done that Tuesday, then it's not done. And that hasn't been a problem until this week when everything must be done. And I only have, like, a few things left to finish, but it's still enough to be annoying. Yeah. So I'm going to segue into... my song of the week, and then we're gonna freeform chat for the rest of the show. So, again, thank you for tuning in. It's been fun for our first radio show. We'll see you in about 6 minutes. So this is a bit of a long song, but I like it a lot. I've been listening to it nonstop. It's Beneath the Brine by The Family Crest.
Of her heart against my spine. Now the dark is nigh, and she lays here at my side. But like a steady squall, her arms they fall, and her legs they grasp me tight. Oh, young dear, why have you taken me in your fall? Oh,
Sorry about that. Apparently, I don't know how to pause the songs. But that was Beneath the Brine by The Family Crest. That's my song of the week. I hope you liked it. It's a little bit intense, but yeah, super fun.
Orchestral. We were talking about how sort of all of these songs would be our selection for if we were on a desert island.
Ah, yes.
Beneath the Brine would be the montage scene.
Yeah.
It would be playing over the montage scene after Annabelle is instilled with a will to survive.
Correct.
After some sort of, you know, harrowing event or some spiritual experiences where she looks up at the stars and sees the face of
God. I feel like looking up at the stars is a part of the montage. Like, you know, like... And you're like, yeah, that was my sound effect.
Yes.
You know the noise you make when you look up at the stars?
Yeah, just...
Cute. No, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I believe after the intense montage, our main character, who is now Maggie, gets super inspired and starts having fun with her life. So maybe she's like... making herself a little skirt out of random things she found, and that montage is set to lip gloss because, you know, Maggie's out here, she's having fun, she's like dancing around on this desert island, like she's learned how to open coconuts, so maybe she's sipping from a coconut while listening to lip gloss.
Exactly. A lot of like powerful feminine energy there.
Yes.
Because, and then I feel like to contrast that, like another person washes up on the beach. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be any romantic interest, but like
it
you
could
guys,
be.
It could be.
Who knows?
We set the tone of like possibility, and you guys really like get along, and like you're just like running around having fun, and like looking at bugs, and that's when kites are fun place. You know, it's like, and then you know like you're just like walking around and. Having a good time, flying some kites, and playing with your new friend.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's just how she goes.
That's how I go.
Yes, and
so
then,
that's really the only three songs that you need for a desert island.
That's true.
We also, Jerry the Awesome Opossum is.
Well, there's opossums on desert islands, right?
I don't know.
This is an imaginary desert island.
Yeah, we can assume that there are opossums.
And
on
so
here.
I feel like the whole thing is actually narrated by him.
Whoa!
Because he's in the tree. He's in the tree, and he's like, "Oh," and so that's the end theme when we finally have it revealed to us who was narrating.
The whole experience. It's just a tight zoom on.
This is like Jerry the Awesome Opossum.
Okay, sorry, that was the worst. That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Jerry's just in the background of every single shot.
But no one notices
you
until you rewatch it.
Yeah, you rewatch it. Yeah, that's the plot twist. Everything else is super straightforward. You start thinking like maybe this other castaway, it's like a plant or something. Like maybe there's an issue. Maybe it's like Tom Hanks, whatever.
I love how
we
feed them false information.
Straightforward.
Yeah,
everything is so straightforward. There's no lies, and then all of a sudden it's like, and then they left, leaving me, Jerry.
To contemplate my existence alone on this island forever, or really only 2 years, because opossums have an incredibly short lifespan.
Okay.
Sadness.
Yeah.
So she can't really spend that long in the island, otherwise Jerry will die.
Maybe it's like a week-long adventure, which is another thing that...
Which is like a year in an opossum's lifespan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe...
It
like
looks
we,
longer.
Maybe it's like the illusion, like the whole thing feels like a year. But since we're from the perspective of an opossum, it's really only a
we're
week.
We're thinking too hard about this imaginary movie.
I'm really enjoying it. I think this is something we could make.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, when I'm a famous director, obviously this will be my first big break of a movie.
Yeah, okay, well...
Catch me at Sundance, revealing. I feel like the title would have to sort of subtly allude to
the opossum. Yeah.
And I feel like it might be like
playing
an island possum. Tale. Like,
oh,
you know.
That's the worst.
No. I think you should call it like playing possum or
that's
some
too overt.
Playing dead?
No. Okay, so you're saying an Iowa tail with the tail smelling would not be too overt?
Because that could be anything.
No, that reminds me. That reminds me of like the Emily Winsnap, like the tale of Emily Winsnap. Do you guys ever read those?
No.
No.
Okay, well they're children's books.
I read George
and they were
Stilton, you know, like the mouse. Geronimo Stilton. That's what I meant to say.
Okay. Oh yeah, Geronimo Stilton. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That you looked at me like this
gal. Because you didn't say that. You said. You said something else.
I said George. Like, yes, I said George. But any sane person would have realized that I meant to say Geronimo.
Of course.
No.
Thank you.
Anyway,
thank you very much.
The tale of Emily Winsnap had a plot twist in the middle. That, like, Emily was a mermaid, but the cover is her as a mermaid. And this tail is spelled T-A-I-L. So, it wasn't, I mean, it's probably, like, a plot twist to me, and I was like, oh my god. Ooh,
I mean, sorry, if that is a plot twist, you're like, what?
What?
The cover art matches the story?
Yes. But it was fun. It was a good series, and I recommend them to any young children who might be listening at 6:50 in the morning.
Oh, they're all up.
They're all up.
Oh, they're.
Yeah, honestly, 6-year-old me is much more likely to be up than. I'm sorry, I have to think about my age for a second. 18-year-old me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also.
Yeah, that's how old I am.
This is a shout out to all the 6-year-olds who are listening to talk radio. It's 6:15
in the morning.
My dad
forced me to listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, probably okay. From like age 2.
No, I wasn't forced to listen, but I did, was in the car.
You're forced to do everything when you're a kid.
That's
true. You don't choose to do anything. Your parents are like, you're going here, and you're like, well, okay.
Okay. That's true.
Walk behind you guys.
Yeah,
or
I know.
Or in front of you guys, because I think probably better parents wouldn't let you walk behind them.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me was also a staple of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Chase Bank Auditorium. This is Pete Sagal.
Gotta love that.
Gotta love it.
And now I just feel like I listen to a lot of This American Life.
This American
and
Life
technically,
is good.
I am a child in some circles.
In some circles.
A lot of circles.
Most circles, an 18-year-old is a child.
I don't.
I
okay,
would consider myself
my
a child.
I understand okay. I'm a legal adult at 18, but I don't feel like I'm an actual adult until I'm at least 30.
I don't feel like I'm a legal adult until I can. Wait, I can't actually say that on air.
No.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can tell us later.
I think in my mid-20s is when I'll finally feel like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now I don't feel like an adult.
Annabelle dresses like an adult, though.
Thank you.
She does.
That's my goal. I like
sorry,
to
I don't
put
dress
together.
Like an adult to you. My tie-dye manatee t-shirt doesn't scream put together mom of three.
I mean, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, that does kind of scream adult.
Yeah. Well, no, most people say that I dress like a 6-year-old.
Mm.
That makes sense.
You don't dress like an adult, you dress like a senior.
Ouch.
You get the
but
senior's
yeah.
discount. I mean, because your hair is also silver, so
yeah.
that, like,
that
contributes
sense.
To the granny vibes.
I can imagine that.
I was raised by my grandmother, so
yeah.
it kind of makes sense that I am her in a way. Because, you know, we're all the product
yeah, you get
of
influenced.
Our upbringing.
Yeah.
You wear a lot of, like, throwback. It's very
yeah.
cute, but I can imagine that if I didn't have my glasses on and I saw you in the distance, and you know that kind of 50s style skirt that you have?
Yes.
With your silver hair, and I didn't have my glasses on, I'd be like,
that's a cute that's old what? Woman.
Yeah, and then you're like, ah, she has a young face. It's a ghost.
Drop
oh my
your
god.
Skincare routine.
No, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Dermatologist.
I love that.
What yeah. if we secretly find out that Emma is actually a senior and she's
oh my god, it's like Orphan.
It's like
oh my
Orphan.
God. We just watched Orphan mm-hmm. per Maggie's request
yeah.
and it was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it was terrifying. It was
terrible and wonderful in like all the mm-hmm. worst ways.
If you are not
in best ways, I meant to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just such a... Also, like, we realize there's, like, this anachronistic shared knowledge of the plot of Orphan that we all had from our childhood. It's almost like when the movie... At least, like, at this very specific age of those who were born in 2001, you were just old enough that people... Okay, maybe this is just me. that people were watching horror movies when it came out.
But not everyone.
Not the weird kids, but the troubled kids.
Yes, and the kids...
Whose parents didn't censor their content.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like a lot of these kids had older siblings who were in the house, and the siblings shared with their younger siblings this plot, and then from there, no matter how this child got the knowledge,
like a chain.
It spread.
If you are unfamiliar knew the whole movie. With the plot of Orphan, just because I don't want to leave some people out of this.
But that's a spoiler, dude. What if they want to watch this movie from 2004?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, fair.
It's not from 2004. yes. The three-year-olds were spreading the plot.
2008, 9, 10?
I'm going to look it up, but continue talking. You can tell the plot of the Orphan.
Plug your ears if for some reason you don't want to hear
Or just
plot.
Turn it off.
Or just turn it off. That would be the more effective way of doing this.
Or don't turn the volume down. Don't turn it off. Keep listening.
Keep listening. anyway,
it was released in 2009.
Orphan.
I was in between.
Orphan is about a family in which the mother suffers a late-term miscarriage. Yeah. And then they decide to adopt. And so they go to this orphanage and they pick up this little Russian girl, and she's super cute, and for some reason she's very good at painting. And
she's like, hello, I have advanced vocabulary, and I paint little pictures, and they're like, oh, we like that.
Mm-hmm. What a quaint little child who must not have any emotional damage whatsoever.
And, like, she has these little chokers, and she's like, oh, yes, I'm style child.
Stylish child.
She predicted the choker gang. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yes.
Anyways, continue.
Anyway, we find out throughout the plot of the movie that there's no way this family would have feasibly been allowed to adopt a child, because not only is the mother an alcoholic, and, like, medically an alcoholic that people know is an alcoholic, she has also almost killed one of her children by accident.
Wouldn't they screen for that kind of thing?
And the father has cheated on her. So this is not a stable household where they would feasibly allow you to adopt a child.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
they have a nice house, though.
They have a very lovely house. They have a beautiful
home. Very nice house. Mm-hmm. Like, what does he do? What is his career?
It was unclear.
Mm-hmm. And she's like...
stay-at-home mom?
No, but like, she's also
she's
like...
She's a piano teacher.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think she's a piano composer.
Yeah, that's what she was writing her own music.
But they alluded to the fact that she couldn't work or something.
She used to work at Yale, but then she got fired because she almost killed her children.
And also,
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. The plot of this movie was a little bit convoluted.
Anyway, they find out that this young Russian girl they've adopted is in actuality a 30-year-old woman with a form of proportional dwarfism and is trying to kill them. Because she couldn't seduce the father effectively while within the body of a 9-year-old girl. It's rather disturbing.
But, like, in the same way, it's very sad.
It's
like,
it's
if she wasn't
sad.
A murderous person, like, imagine being
in
a body and,
her.
Like, like, not being able to be treated like an adult. Like,
until she started
That was the only scene. Like, there was that scene where she's like, why won't you just, like, treat me like an adult? And
well,
I was like...
I mean, I feel like...
Yeah, I feel like...
I feel like if she was, like, mentally sound, she would be able to live in the world with this proportional dwarfism. Mm. Like, because if you dress
her... To be fair,
older,
she did pretend to be a child.
Yeah, she also, like, wears makeup and puts on, like... fake teeth to look younger than she actually is.
No,
okay, to be fair, she had gross teeth. She should have been wearing the dentures.
Okay, fair.
I think if she wasn't mentally unsound, she would have been able to move throughout her world as an adult woman who is just shorter, honestly, because she does have the face after she'd been, like, transformed. She has the face of an old person.
She has the face of someone who had lots of aging makeup put on them.
No, I know, but like...
No, I get you. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I was just trying to, you know, play devil's advocate and sympathize with the serial killer.
We all sympathized with her at the beginning of the movie before she pulled out the knife.
Yeah. We all liked her until she pulled out the knife.
We all liked her when she thought she was, when we thought she was a child.
This is like a John Wayne Gacy thing, like, he was such a nice boy.
Yes. Okay, well, with that, I think we've hit the end of our hour here.
We should play